On Wednesday night, the title of the message was Eternal Death That Sounds Good. And the point that the Lord was making is that there are so many voices in the body of Christ today that have taken the truth of God's word and twisted it just enough that it is no longer what God originally meant. And so we looked at why the subject of deceit and deception is so important. And so we went back and we looked at Genesis chapter 3. And we saw how Satan seduced Eve to the point that she believed the false doctrine that he was giving. And so when Adam ate of the tree, it killed them. It robbed them of eternal life. And without a redeemer, they were going to spend the rest of their lives with eternal death. That is how deadly deception is. If you listen to deception long enough and you start to hear it, you start to believe it, you start to receive it into your heart long enough, you can slowly walk away from your salvation. And I read one of the prophecies, that we had received. Well, I probably read out of two or three of them that we had received back in 2008. Because in 2008, the Lord said that a new attack has been launched. And the new attack that he was making reference to was men and women standing in the pulpit speaking as Galatians would say, an altered gospel. Okay? And so we've started hearing that over and over. And one of the things that the prophecy said is that these men and women who are speaking the wrong doctrine, they're slowly drifting away from truth. Slowly drifting away from truth. And as they're slowly drifting away from truth, they're taking those who listen to them with them. And so, as they slowly drift away from truth, unless something happens, they're going to walk away from truth altogether. That was the message on Wednesday night for the most part. And so, as I was meditating and praying, the Lord brought me right back to Genesis chapter 3. Because, as he said, Genesis chapter 3 is really about us. Genesis chapter 3 is really about us. And so I said, okay, Lord, how is Genesis chapter 3 really about us? And he said, when you look at Eve, and we're going to get into this, Eve had the same life and nature in her that you have in you. So if the enemy of the soul can seduce Eve the way he did, do you not think that it's possible he can seduce you also? Okay? And he reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, when the disciple asked him, you know, what will be the sign of thy return? And the first thing Jesus said is, take heed that no man deceive you. That was his number one warning. Let no man deceive you. Okay? And so he says that when I come back, you will know it's time for me to come back when deception increases in the body of Christ. Okay? And I thought that was interesting because in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve was deceived, and the word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, Adam was not. But when Eve was deceived and Adam ate of the tree, what was the thing that God had to put in place to rectify the situation? The coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born. Jesus was birthed into this world because deception had killed the human race. Do you see that? So we see in Genesis, the first time he came, it was because of deception. The second time he's coming is because of deception. Now this morning, the message is going to be a combination of teaching and narrative, okay? Because that's just the way the Lord kind of worked it in me as I was writing all this stuff down. But we're going to begin in Ezekiel 28. That's where will be the first scripture reference that we have. Ezekiel 28. We're going to start looking at Genesis chapter 3 in the place before it happened. And that was heaven. Okay? That was heaven. Because the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 had his beginnings in heaven. Okay? When Lucifer persuaded one-third of the angels in heaven to take a position against God, he was cast out of heaven. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, the angels are called the stars of heaven. Okay, and that's going to be important to remember, the stars of heaven. What did he do to warrant such severe punishment? He was cast out of the place where eternal life dwelled. I'm going to read that again. He was cast out of the place where eternal life dwelled because of pride and what it produced in his life. In Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verse 17, and we're just going to read the first part of it. It says, in describing Lucifer, which really begins in verse 11, but when we get down to verse 17, it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. So, because of who he was, and because of what God had placed within him, his heart was lifted up because of who he was. And notice it says in verse 17 that thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Who corrupted his wisdom? He did. He corrupted the wisdom that God had given him. Do you see that? Okay. Lucifer's pride manifested itself in behavior that had become the hallmarks of his presence. Listen to what I said. Lucifer's pride manifested in behavior that had become the hallmarks of his presence. Okay? Look in Ezekiel. We're in Ezekiel. Look at verse 13 in Ezekiel 28. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And notice in Genesis chapter 3, it says, the garden of Eden. Okay? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So everything that we just read in verse 13, God prepared it for Lucifer. He prepared it for Lucifer. And then look what verse 14 says. Thou, Lucifer, art the anointed cherub that covereth. The anointed cherub that covereth. When you read in Scripture, there is no other cherub that is given the phrase the anointed cherub other than Lucifer. So, can you start to kind of understand why he got a little puffed up? Can you kind of understand why he thought that of all of God's angels, I'm the man. I'm the one. Okay? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Do you see that? God created him perfect, complete, perfect. God created Lucifer perfect. And he was not happy with perfect. Thou wast complete. Thou wast perfect in thy ways, in the way he handled himself, in the way he lived, until iniquity was found in him. So iniquity then began to work in him. Okay? And see, I want you to understand this, ladies and gentlemen. God had made him perfect. God, everything about Lucifer was right. But then he decided in himself that that wasn't enough for him. Being perfect, being right in the sight of God, that wasn't enough for him. And that's why iniquity was found in him. So one of the first hallmarks of the presence of Satan, of the devil, is thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's when you're in the presence of someone like that, Satan can be found. If you're taking notes, add Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, because it talks about not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it talks about how, well, Barry, doesn't take much time to get there, so let's just do it real quick. It says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, okay? So when we are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, when we are saying, like Jesus said, my meat is to do the meat of him that sent me, then we will not get down to doing verse 3, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But when our meat is ours and not his, then we will think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that is what we see in Satan, in Lucifer. In Psalm chapter 10, look at verse 4. And I think this really captures what we see here in Ezekiel. The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Do you see that? When you are filled with pride, you won't seek after God. You don't need him, because you think you already have it all. You think you know better. Okay? What's another behavior that we will see that is the hallmark of Lucifer, of Satan? Look in Isaiah 14. Again, these are all familiar passages that we're looking at this morning. In Isaiah 14, we're going to begin with verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, where did he say it? In his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Remember, we talked about the stars in heaven were referred to the angels. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Another hallmark of Satan's presence is you begin to murmur you begin to complain, you begin to say you can do this better than those in leadership. And you eventually will rebel against those in leadership. So you begin to murmur, and then you get to the point that you rebel because you can do it better. Let's look at a quick example of this in Numbers 14. In Numbers 14, verse 27. The children of Israel, back in chapter 12 and 13, remember the 12 spies that went over to spy out the land? And if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses told them before they went to spy out the land that it's going to be, this is what they're going to find. Okay, so he gave them markers to look for when they got to the promised land. So they get to the promised land, and they see everything that Moses said was true. So they come back to Israel, they come back home with this huge thing of grapes that's so heavy that it's bending in the middle of the stick, dragging against the ground, it's so great. And so the 12 spies, 10 of them say, you know what? Everything that Moses said was true, but there are giants in the land. Okay? There are giants in the land. When they said, but, there are giants in the land. When they said, but, they got their butts kicked. Because, see, what they did, they said that what I can see is more frightening to me than the truth of God's word. And see, so many of us, we make decisions, we do things based on what we see rather than what God's word said. Okay? So look at how God responded. He was thrilled, happy, threw a party, just couldn't wait. No, he wasn't. Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Why were they evil? Because they believed the report of the 10 spies. They went against what God has said. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land. Now everyone who was 20 years and under and up, who murmured, died. If you were older than 20 but you didn't murmur, you lived. Okay? You lived. Two examples, Joshua and Caleb. Okay? The last one I want to look at is, you know that the hallmark of Satan's presence when you see this happening. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon is Satan, the serpent, the devil. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now notice that the angels became his. They no longer belonged to God. They were his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Okay? So once they went to war with Michael, they no longer lived. They no longer had a residence in heaven. Okay? Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And that's what I want you to see. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now this word deceiveth, in verse 9, it means to cause to roam from safety. To cause to roam from safety, truth or virtue. So when Satan deceived Eve, what he did, he caused her to leave the safety of God's word, of God's life, of God's nature, when she accepted what he taught. So do you see why deception is such a big issue in Scripture? Because it causes you to leave the place of safety, which is God's word, God's family, heaven bound. Okay? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, as I'm showing it as an example from Scripture about the deception. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian believers. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When we read this passage in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we do not handle the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully. We do not handle the word of God to cause you to roam from the place of safety. I truly believe that the men and women who stand in the pulpit, who are teaching us doctrine that's causing us to roam from the place of safety and truth and virtue, they're not doing that on purpose. They truly believe that they are delivering the gospel. They truly believe that. And we're going to find out why they believe that. Okay? So, and the third one is that we can see Satan in operation when there is deceit and false doctrine being sown. But the sad part, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many of us in the body of Christ, we don't recognize false doctrine when we see it. Because, see, most of the time, false doctrine is going to sound good. It's going to appeal to you. And after all, we know that God wants us happy. We all know that God wants us prosperous. We all know that God wants us to have two or three Cadillacs, a big house, a vacation home. Isn't that what God wants? I mean, after all, we're his sons and daughters. He wants us to have that. When you listen to a lot of the folks in the body of Christ today, you know why they believe that's what God wants them to have? Because that's what they want. If that's what you want, then you're going to gravitate to the God that's going to give that to you. I'm glad y'all caught that. You're going to gravitate to the God who will give that to you. Okay? Now, Lucifer and his angels had turned their backs on an eternity in the presence of God because they simply refused to believe and obey his word. Now their eternity is death, separation from God with no possible reinstatement of life. Their eternity is death, a separation from God with no possibility of reinstatement to life. Having been stripped of everything that was dear to him, Lucifer's rage increased against his creator. God had to pay for what he did to him, he reasoned. So he waited. And he saw our Father create a universe, and then an earth that was inhabited with all forms of life. He saw the Lord God's love and gentleness as he formed and made man. And when man took his first breath, he saw an expression on the Lord God's face that he had never seen before. The Father now had a son. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. that when God breathed into him, he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The devil looked on with anger and disgust as the bond between the man and the Lord God developed. So he watched. The bond began to grow so strong that the father brought all the animals to his son and said, I want you to name them, and whatever you decide, that will be its name. The devil saw the father's heart even more when he saw the father's joy when Adam saw Eve and smiled. The devil smiled too. Ah, he thought to himself, now I know how I can hurt the Lord God. I will go after the man and his wife. Now look in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 12. I think what the Lord wants to do this morning is paint a picture, give you an image, okay? Get you a little bit more into Scripture in a way that most of us, we don't do, and we should. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is who he's after, us. The devil, the serpent, approached Eve in Genesis chapter 3 with the same seductive prowess that he used to condemn one-third of God's angels to eternal damnation. He was like the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7 who from her window smiled as she saw her unsuspecting prey. He wooed Eve with much fair speech. His deadly doctrine was so easy to hear. You will not die, for you will be like gods, knowing both good and evil, he whispered. Look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. He wooed Eve with such fair speech. His deadly doctrine was so easy to hear. You will not die, but you will be like the gods, knowing both good and evil, he whispered. In her mind, Eve saw the pleasantness of the fruit. She saw how it could make her more like God. So she yielded. She never saw the dart his flattering lips produced until Adam ate the fruit from the forbidden tree. The dart struck, ripping through the very life of God. The dart struck, ripping through the very life of God. When Adam and Eve believed the serpent's doctrine of death, that sounded so much like life, they walked away from love. They walked away from an eternity that would have been lived in the presence of God into a death and into a place where eternal life did not dwell. Eve was deceived because she listened to the voice from without that spoke deceit and death into her life. Now remember what I said earlier. One of the things that the Lord reminded me of is that at this point in her life, Eve was just like us. Okay? She had God's life and nature on the inside. But what does Scripture say? She listened to the serpent. She listened to a voice from without. From without where? From without the family. Okay? A voice that was not from the same place as the voice from within. Eve was deceived because she listened to the voice from without that spoke deceit and death into her life. But to her, it didn't sound like death. It sounded like being more like God. I can see her letting the serpent's words roll around in her mind and smiling. I know God loves me. I can feel it when I'm in his presence. Why wouldn't he want me to know more of his love and be more like him? The serpent isn't telling me I can't be more like God. In fact, he's saying I can be more like God just by eating of the tree. Eve chose to listen to the voice from without that appealed to her soul and her emotions. She was seduced and persuaded to believe in a life that was different from the life that God had planned for her. She was deceived into doing what pleased her rather than what pleased her Creator. Now, I hope you all are seeing in your minds as I'm reading this how this is being played out today. Okay? When it talks about how Eve pleased herself rather than her Creator. This is playing out in the body of Christ today, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the Lord said, you know, Genesis chapter 3 is really about you. About you, his sons and his daughters. Because it's being played out all over the world today. I'm going to go back. She was seduced and persuaded to believe in a life that was different from the life that God had planned for her. She was deceived into doing what pleased her rather than what pleased her Creator. In her mind, there was no difference. The serpent had convinced Eve that roaming from the safety of truth, ignoring God's command to not eat of the tree, was not really that unsafe, when in fact, it was deadly. Look in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is showing the Roman believers how they have what the Jews wanted, but the Jews did not have because they did not accept Jesus Christ. In verse 13. Well, let's go back. Let's see. Verse 11. Okay. I'm getting to be in Gary Carpenter mode. I can only go back so far. Verse 10, okay. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. But there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Okay? Verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And we know that when you read in Galatians, it says that if you don't do all the law, then you are guilty. Then you will stand guilty because you did not do all the law. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature, do because of what's on the inside of them, not by some external commandment, do by nature the things contained in the law. So because we now have God's life in nature, we can do what the law demands, because we now have God's life and nature on the inside of us. So, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15 is where I want to go. Remember, we're talking about folks who now have God's life and nature on the inside of them, okay? We also have established that Eve had the same life and nature in her that we have in us. Verse 15. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, their new nature, also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. You've heard the expression, a check in your spirit. Because the only time you're going to have a check in your spirit is when you're getting ready to do something you should not do. That's the only time you're going to have a check in your spirit. So your spirit is going to either accuse you of something you're about to do, or it's going to excuse you. It's going to say, then go ahead and do it because it's okay. Okay? So what am I saying, ladies and gentlemen? Like us, Eve could either receive a check in her spirit or not. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay? The serpent had convinced Eve that roaming from the safety of the truth, ignoring God's command to not eat of the tree, was not really that unsafe, when in fact it was deadly. The check in her spirit, the voice from within, went unnoticed. She didn't hear the life in her that was just like the life of her Creator. The check in her spirit, that voice within, it went unnoticed. That's a message today for us, ladies and gentlemen. Many times we have checks in our spirits, and we continue along the path anyway. If you continue to ignore the checks in your spirit, if you continue to ignore the life in you trying to keep you from walking the path of death, if you continue to ignore that check in your spirit, you're eventually going to walk your way out of eternal life. You can take that to the bank. For all those folks who say that once saved, always saved, they don't know the Bible that I know. You can take that to the bank. Because, see, if Adam and Eve were like us before the deception, could you not say, if they were like us, they are saved? For those of you who are listening to this, you know, there really are people here this morning. Okay? If Adam and Eve were like us, and they were members of God's family, and they got deceived and sinned and were no longer members of God's family, don't you think that there's a possibility that we can make decisions that will cause us to no longer be part of God's family? Yes. Yes. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, of everything that you will see that's going to point you to my coming back is, please be aware of false doctrine. Because false doctrine is what got me here the first time. And false doctrine is what's going to bring me back the second time. The check in her spirit, the voice within, went unnoticed. She didn't hear the life in her that was just like the life of her Creator. However, with one simple act of obedience, Adam could have preserved the course of human history. With one simple act of obedience. He simply had to obey God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we see that back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. He could have prevented the devil's continual, free, and unrestricted access to man's soul and emotions. I'm going to read that again. With one simple act of obedience, Adam could have prevented the devil's continual, free, and unrestrained access to man's soul and emotions. Look at 1 Timothy. And we referred to this a little bit earlier. I remember when I read this verse on Wednesday night, there were some folks who looked at this verse and it was like, oh, you know, the looks on the face were like, oh my God. Verse chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 13 says, and for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. Do you see that? Adam was not deceived. Eve was standing there being tempted, and Adam was not deceived. Look at chapter 3, verse 17 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam, he, the Lord God, said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not, that thou should not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. The ground is now cursed because of you. Because Adam listened to a voice that he, and take a step back. Scripture says you listen to the voice of your wife, okay? But who did his wife listen to? So really, Adam listened to the voice of the serpent, okay? And he said, because you listened to the voice of the serpent and you knew it was the wrong voice, but you still made the decision that you made, the earth as it was before no longer exists. So I don't care how many pictures people take of the Grand Canyon, talk about how beautiful it is. It pales in comparison to what the world looked like before Adam sinned. You have all these beautiful Niagara Falls, all the places you can go, and your mouth just gapes open and, oh my gosh, how beautiful that is. It's sin. It's a world of sin. When this world is gone and the new heaven and the new earth come, you're really going to see what God intended. You're really going to see what God intended. So what do these verses tell us? These verses tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that Adam also ignored the check in his spirit. Now, why would Adam deliberately disobey God, you might ask? Why would he knowingly choose death over life? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, Eve, after she ate, gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Get the image. With her. Lee, Tabitha, stand up, please. Lee is Adam. Tabitha is Eve. I'm Satan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in charge today. So, I am seducing Eve. Adam is standing right there while I am seducing Eve. Get that picture, ladies and gentlemen. Adam might as well, I might as well have had a 22 gauge rifle pointed at Tabitha's head. And he's just standing there to see if I'm going to pull the trigger. Word of God says her husband was with her. And he did not try to stop me. I want you to see that. He kept his mouth shut. What is the Word of God telling us? Jesus in Matthew, thank you, Tabitha, thank you, Lee. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, when he was confronted with Satan, the same Satan that confronted Adam and Eve, what did he do that Adam did not do? He said, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Word. He spoke God's Word. He was not quiet. He just didn't stand there and just take it. Okay? Why would Adam allow his wife to be seduced and then join her in the deception? Go back to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to do it for a quick minute because I want you to see this. And hold your finger in Genesis chapter 2. So Ezekiel 28 and Genesis chapter 2. In Ezekiel 28, and we've read this earlier, but I want to read it again so that you can see this. Ezekiel 28, look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Okay? Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay? Go to Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. Do you see the similarities? To dress it and to keep it. The word covereth in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, the word keep in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, have the same meaning. It means to guard and protect. Do you see that? Both Lucifer and Adam had responsibilities for regarding and protecting their respective Edens. Now listen to this. If we read more of Ezekiel chapter 28, we will see that Lucifer's heart was lifted up with pride because he was the one God anointed to protect his garden. Could it be that just like Lucifer, Adam was becoming lifted up with pride? God had charged him with protecting the Garden of Eden. Could it be that he thought he could act independently of God and his word, just like Lucifer, but that the results would be different? Look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, and we're winding down for this morning because I'm going to finish this message tonight. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and what came as a result of sin? Death. Death. Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So what death, ladies and gentlemen, passed upon all men because of the decision that Adam made back in Genesis chapter 3? And the answer is spiritual death. I don't charge extra for the entertainment. You get it just because you showed up, okay? But in verse 12, it says that death, that when sin entered the world, death came as a result of the sin. And so now death was passed upon everybody in the world. Again, all it would have taken to preserve eternal life for man was one man's simple act of obedience. Fortunately for us, our story doesn't end with Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It only pauses. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. So the offense was Adam sinning, eternal death. But now the free gift is what? Eternal life. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Another man's simple act of... Now, this is important, ladies and gentlemen. Another man's simple act of obedience gave us an opportunity to choose life. Now, there are some who teach that Jesus, when he was here, was 100% man and 100% deity. If you read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that cannot be true. Okay? Because deity cannot regain for us what man lost. Only a man could do that. Okay? Last thing I'm going to read. So now that Jesus has given us an opportunity to once again choose life, I can only imagine what went through the devil's mind when he saw the results of Jesus' crucifixion. Once again, he was faced with men and women who were sons and daughters of God. I'm sorry. Once again, he was faced with men and women who were sons and daughters of the God he hated, the God he wanted to hurt. How could he lead them to eternal damnation this time? He knew that he had to do something different. There were simply too many children in God's family to focus on one individual. He also knew by observation that to work his deadly deception, he couldn't do it with a voice from without. Not this time. This time, he had to have voices from within the family. This time, he had to have voices from within the family. This time, he had to have voices from within the family. I said that three times, right? This time, he had to have voices from within the family. And notice, the Lord didn't inspire me to use the word church. He inspired me to use the word family. Family. This time he had to have voices from within the family who were numb to the voice within. Who were numb to the leading of the new nature. That's the family members that he is after. Those who have voices like Barry, who stand in the pulpit and who minister, who teach like Barry, but they are numb to the voice of their new nature. That's who he is after. Because see, just like Eve was numb to the voice of her new nature, and because she was numb to the voice of her new nature, and Adam was just stupid, because of that, he was able, because of Adam's stupidity, he was able to kill the entire human race. He knows that to kill the entire human race is not possible this time around. But what he does know is possible. But he can take as many of us with him to the lake of fire. And we're going to see this evening, and this evening's service is going to be a short one. What we're going to see this evening is that he's found voices who, for them, it's more important for them to be followed than for them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what's and see, the sad part about this, ladies and gentlemen, is that these voices who want to be followed, in their minds, they don't see that as what they are after. Well, that is in truth what is going on, because they're making decisions, they're teaching things that they know they will read scripture, they will see what's written, and yet they will teach it in such a way that it is not adhering to the truth of what's written. But see, you have so many of us in the body of Christ, we're not like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who, when the word of God was presented to them, they searched the scripture to see if what they were being taught was true. And see, I have stood up here this morning and taught. The worst thing you can do is say, Barry, enjoy the message. See you next Sunday. You need to, that's why I give notes or pieces of paper that you can take notes. Because I want you to take what I'm telling you and go back and make sure that I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Because anywhere along the way, when I was teaching this morning, if there was a check in your spirit somewhere, you need to find out why. You need to find out why. Okay? And then once you find out why, tell me. Tell me, seriously. Because see, I am accountable to God. And if I'm teaching things that are not to be taught, tell me so I can get it right. I have no ego in this. None. My only job is to present God's word the way he wants it presented. In the accuracy that he wants it presented. That's my only job. Remember in Acts, and I say we're closing, and we really are. Remember in Acts when there was an apostle, I think his name was Apollos, I can't remember which one, but he was teaching some things that were not quite accurate, and then Priscilla and Aquila pulled him to the side. And the word of God said they pulled him to the side, where they took him privately, and they showed him the more excellent way. That's what we should be doing with each other, showing each other when the more excellent way. And that's why I say I have no ego in this. None. 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 Because see, I know what happens when ego gets involved. You get kicked out of heaven. For all eternity. That's something that I don't need to experience to know that it's real. Ladies and gentlemen, Genesis chapter 3 is about us. The way that the enemy of the soul attacked Eve, the way he just went after her, and went after her. Because, you know, we see this record in Genesis chapter 3. And yes, we see 6 verses. And we don't realize that in those 6 verses, there was a lot of time. He just didn't walk up to Eve and just say, hey, Eve, no, has God really said that you shouldn't eat of the tree? No. There were a lot of things that happened all up and down the way before he got to asking her that question. We don't know how long that took. It could have took weeks, months. It could have took years. But he finally got her to the point that she was willing to question. The prophecies that I read on Wednesday came out in 2008. And it said that there have been things working in these men and in these women that are now starting to come out. So it's not like the prophecies came out in 2008 and that's when the things working in these people just kind of showed up. But God is saying that he's seen this for years, but now they're starting to show up. So we don't know how long Satan was whispering in Eve's ear until she finally decided that what he was saying was true. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says that when we speak in tongues, we are speaking mysteries. Okay? Verse 4 said that when we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up. Jude chapter 20 said that when we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, will get you to the point. Now I want you to listen to this. And this I'm done. Yeah. See, I've been doing Gary Carpenter all day. How many times did he have a close? Do you know why speaking in tongues is so important? Because it sensitizes you to hearing the voice of your new nature. That's the whole point. He wants you to hear him when he's talking to you. That's why we pray in tongues. Because he wants us to hear him on the inside of us. Amen? When you look at Scripture, you will see very little about sin when you look at Scripture. Because once you get born again, sin is not your issue. Sin is not your issue. When you get born again, the issues become whether or not you're going to walk more and more into the life that you have now as a son and daughter. And so the way to keep you from walking into more of the life that you have as sons and daughters is to feed you doctrine that does not work. That's why Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Paul says that I'm so glad that I speak in tongues more than you all. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I want you to say this with me. The Apostle Paul says, I am so glad that I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul, today, I'm going to give you a run for your money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Father, we just love you.